Hello, everyone, and welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Buddy Pearson, and on this podcast, Education Matters. Our guest today is Ross Fanning, who is the assistant principal and athletic director at Upperman High School. Ross, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mr. Pearson. Happy to be here.
All right. So, Ross, assistant principal and athletic director at Upperman High School. How long have you been at Upperman?
I've been at Upperman. This will be my sixth year, third year as assistant principal athletic director.
Okay. So is that a title that's kind of tied together, or were you one without the other?
My position has been tied together the entire time. You can be one without the other, but I've been both positions for the last 3 years.
Well, let's see. Now, I'm sitting here thinking about Upperman Athletics, and I think of a baseball state championship and a baseball runner-up championship. I'm thinking about a football team that made it to the state championship game. I'm thinking about a boys basketball team that was in the Final Four, and then I'm thinking about a girls basketball team that was a state runner-up. Pretty good year for Upperman. Oh, and let's talk about a track star that won state title and did very well at state.
We had track star that won the high jump last year. We also volleyball second time ever.
Volleyball
went to state.
Yes, went to state.
And we had two state medalists in wrestling this year.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So I guess if you look around, it's been a pretty good year for Upperman Athletics.
It really has been.
And it's because of the athletic director, right?
I don't think so. I don't think it has anything to do with me. We have great coaches. We've surrounded our community is about athletics as well. They're very supportive of all the athletics. If you come to any type of game, we have a crowd. It don't matter if it's baseball. I mean, we had a crowd at the state tournament wrestling. I mean, we had several people there to watch them. We had a really good time in Franklin. The coaches are incredible, what they do for our student athletes and our building, and they work together and they collaborate together. And to be so successful at a size like Upperman, you have to share. Athletes play multiple sports.
Yeah.
And so your coaches have to work together for that to happen. So that's why we're so successful.
You know, we really saw that where the football team made it all the way to the championship game, which cut into the boys' basketball schedule and really – you know, you saw the boys' basketball team really wasn't at full strength till they got those football players back, and then they had to get in basketball shape. And I think that's why, you know, toward the end of the season, they were as tough as they could because, Coach McWilliams, who was the Class 3A Coach of the Year, he had all his players back, and then they were in basketball shape, and then they made the run.
They did, and it does take some time when you make that such a long run in football.
Yeah.
With those athletes that actually – help on the court. It takes some time to get in basketball shape. Usually, my experience just watching it, takes a little bit of time after Christmas. Toward the end of January, they start to actually get in basketball shape and where they're back to their normal selves. And speaking of going into it, basketball went so far, we have a starter on the baseball team that started for the basketball team.
There you go.
So now he's on the baseball field starting in left field right now. So it just kind of all overlaps like that. So.
Now, as the athletic director, what is your main function? What is it that you do the most when it comes to athletics?
Well, as like what we said, a lot of it has to do with managing as far as you do have to share different athletes, and we do have to work together, and you kind of have to help to be in the middle of some of that type stuff. You also have to help as far as fundraising and things of that nature goes because, you know, money just don't come at you. You just don't get money.
Well, wait a minute. Because I thought, and a lot of people think, it's just, I mean, the schools just pour money into sports in Putnam County.
No, that's not really the way it works. I wish we could just ask for money and we get it, but each program fundraises for themselves. Baseball, speaking of money, baseball, we just put a brand new scoreboard.
Yeah.
We had some huge sponsors. Just want to shout out to my sponsors that helped make that happen, but we had to go out and we had to find those sponsors. Coach Shanks found two or three. I found one or two. I found two. It gave us a substantial amount of money to help put that scoreboard up. And each program has to do that. So,
and I was being facetious and in a joking way because the misconception is that the Putnam County School District or the state gives each school money for athletics, but that is not the case.
That is not the case, no, sir.
How much money do you receive from the school system?
Well, now it's it used to be zero,
yeah.
obviously. We do have a contract where we work with the hospital for our trainer. So we do get – each school gets a little bit of money.
An athletic trainer, somebody who's there to help with injuries and those kind of things.
Correct. So now with that contract, we do get some money from that, which
yeah.
has helped a lot. I know it's helped Monterey a lot. It's helped Cookeville a lot. It's helped mm-hmm. us a lot. We're able just to buy some things that we need, like new weight equipment.
Yeah.
Has helped that money has helped with that. If you just walked into our field houses and just saw the weight equipment, you would say, "Yeah, we need some new ones." So that kind of money that has helped a lot. So that has been we've been very fortunate to be able to get that. But as far as like a normal coming from the board or coming from the state,
mm-hmm.
zero.
Yeah, and I want people to understand that that you don't just go to the school board and say, "Hey, we need 10 grand for our football team because you know we want to eat." Papa John's before, you know, the football. That's not it at all. As a matter of fact, the churches, the businesses, a lot of people will donate food. They'll donate their time. They'll donate a lot of things to the athletic programs. And then in turn, the athletic programs will go out and you see the signage at the football stadiums. You see the signage all over the place. And that is a great way for these teams to be able to generate revenue.
It is. Everybody has to fundraise, but putting businesses out there, it's not just good for our teams, though, but it's good for the community because when anybody comes out, they see those businesses, and
yeah.
it helps revenue for those businesses as well.
So if each sport has to fundraise, is there a budget? Who takes care of the budget? Do you know how much each sport has to deal with? Is there some more than others? What about, you know, maybe the golf team that – you know, they don't need as much money as the football team, but yet they still have expenses and they still have things like that. What do they do?
Each sport still has to fundraise on their own. They each have their own individual account. Myself and the principal, we do oversee the actual budget of each one, and we see what's in the account.
Yeah.
Because when they want to buy something, we have to make sure they're in good standing, obviously. They
yeah.
can't be in the hole. But they still have to go out and they have to find ways to fundraise, whether it's, you know, doing some kind of donation board or something like that. They still have to find ways to pay for things.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, with the new scoreboard, that's funded from donations. There's other things that, you know, if a sport, if they want to have four different uniforms, that's great as long as somebody's donated the money to be able to do those things. I mean, is that right?
Then that's correct.
Yeah.
Yep. New uniforms, things like that. Lacrosse is going to be a sanctioned sport, Tito's will be next year. So they're looking to fund. We have fundraising for all that stuff because you have to meet certain guidelines for Tito's will be than we do with the old corporation. So all that kind of works into place, but everybody has to fundraise.
So one of the things I love about Upperman is there are a lot of different sports that are available to kids.
There are.
And you just said lacrosse. I know there's a boys volleyball club team.
We added that. We did an intramural last year with boys volleyball.
Right.
We had six teams. We had our broadcasting teacher in the building wanted to help with it. So we had enough to fill six teams. I coached three.
Yeah.
She coached three, and we had enough. And I said, well, if you want to take this on next year, we'll start it. So it's
yeah.
been exciting. As far as boys volleyball, we have archery.
Yeah.
We've been going to competitions for archery this year. We have an esports program. That we started two years ago.
Esports
program.
Yeah, they have one of those at Tech.
They do. They have one of those at Tech. Huge fishing team.
Yeah.
We have a team that's ranked nationally right now in fishing.
That's right.
They're going to be in the national tournament. So, yeah.
Bowling.
We have bowling. We actually co-op with Cookeville for bowling.
Yeah.
So that allows them to have bowling too. Anything you can think of almost. I mean, I've tried to – if we did not have it in the last 3 years,
yeah.
I have tried to put it – I've tried to add it.
And see, I think that's awesome. I think it's great to be able to have all the different sports. Now, I know as an athletic director, it probably creates, you know, some logistical things because, you know, you've had a girls volleyball team that's been very successful. Now you got a boys volleyball team. So now that – and then you've got – they're playing in a gym where the basketball teams play. So you're trying to divvy up times, I'm sure. And then that adds another fundraising layer to athletics. But all the different sports, have you found that, you know, giving everybody these different opportunities is beneficial, or would you rather just go to like four sports and everybody try and play those sports?
I am a firm believer in there's a place for everybody.
Yeah.
And so if when you add these sports and you add these clubs, some of these kids, some of our students, that's all they do. So like esports, when we started esports, some of the students that are on the esports team, that's all they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so they found their niche.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. Everybody needs to find what they want to do, and it helps them grow as individuals while they're in school, and it helps them have a better experience while they're in high school.
Absolutely. All the opportunities that you can have. And as the athletic director and trying to juggle all these things, I would imagine you have to be at a lot of the events.
I do have to be in a lot of the events. I'm definitely at all the home events. We have softball tonight and boys volleyball. Speaking of adding things, we did add tennis this year as well.
Oh, wow.
So I actually –
Boys and girls?
Boys and girls. I actually helped start that. So I have a teacher that has helped coach it. She's been the head coach on paper, but I have been there.
Now, where do they play?
So we practice a few days on the Baxter courts. We have two courts in Baxter.
Okay.
And then Cookeville Community Center has worked well with me, and we practice a few days a week there.
Oh, great.
And they have allowed us to have our home matches there.
Oh, super.
So we've had two home matches at Cookeville Community Center right by Avery Trace there. So they have been awesome to work with. We've already played Cookeville. It's been a fun experience, and we have students on that. On our tennis team, that's all they do. We found their niche.
Yeah.
for their high school success. So I just think that's very important.
That is awesome. We are talking with Ross Fanning, who's the assistant principal and athletic director at Upperman High School. And I'm Buddy Pearson, and you're listening to Local Matters.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
This is Local Matters with the folks on education. I'm Buddy Pearson. Ross Fanning, who's the assistant principal and athletic director at Upperman High School, is our guest today. We're talking about being an athletic director. So when did you know that you wanted to be an athletic director?
Well, honestly, I have athletic background, played a few sports in high school. I coached college basketball, coached NAIA basketball for 3 years in Kentucky. And so when I came back, my wife's from Cookeville.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to come back from coaching because she was tenured here, and I was kind of getting tired of being on the road all the time.
Sure.
I landed a teaching job in Fentress County my first year.
Right.
Coached their middle school basketball teams up there. And then when I came here, I helped our basketball teams up here,
mm-hmm.
and I worked really well with our principal. It was Mr. Billy Stepp at the time.
Yeah.
And we kind of have a few conversations on doing the assistant principal side of things as I was my years as we were going through. And I kind of personally always wanted to kind of be with athletics anyway.
Sure.
So Mr. Wilson, and then when Mr. Nathan Brown, when he left, it just kind of just fit right in. I was able just to kind of slide right in, and it was just kind of I thought it was just a really good fit. Don't know if I ever really planned on doing it. It just kind of
worked out that
it
way.
It did.
Now, where are you from originally?
I'm from Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Okay. So where did you go to, like, junior high and high school?
Moore County High School. It's 7 through 12.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then where did you go to college?
I bounced around. I ended up finishing my first bachelor at Tennessee Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And then I received my MBA at University of Pikeville.
Okay.
And then when I came back to teach in this area, I just finished my second EDS last year.
Oh. Now, what sports did you play in high school?
I played basketball, football, and baseball, but I mainly focused on basketball.
Now, did you come to Tech to play basketball?
I did not.
Just starring in intramurals.
I did work with the Tech's basketball team for 2 years.
Now, who was the head coach then?
It was Steve Payne then.
Okay.
Steve Payne was the head coach. I worked with him for 2 years. And then they actually helped me land the job at University of Pikeville.
Right.
And so I went there for 2 years. I earned my MBA, and then I landed an assistant coaching job at Union College in Barberville, Kentucky.
Yeah.
And then we at 2016, I'm pretty sure, we won the national championship. It was just me and the head coach.
Wow.
We had a great team.
What's it like to win a national championship?
It is. It's kind of surreal. You don't really understand, like, when it happens. You really don't understand how big of a deal it is, I don't think, until we're coming back from Missouri, because that's where we played.
Kansas City?
No, Kansas City at the time was D1. Okay. Union was D2. So we were in Branson, Missouri.
Oh, yeah.
So when we were just coming back from the campus, everybody was just lined the roads. Like, it kind of just felt how big of a deal it was.
Yeah.
But very special moment, very special. But realized I was just on the road all the time. So my wife loved teaching. She was like, you'll be good at it.
Yeah.
So I came back here, ended up, school already started. And I landed a job at Allard Elementary School
right
after school started.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, everything just kind of fell into place.
I think awesome.
It's weird how that happens sometimes.
Well, now tell us about your wife. How long have you been married? What's her name?
We have been married for, it'll be 7 years this summer.
Okay.
Her name is Marianne Simcox.
Mm-hmm.
She went to Cookeville High School. We've been together for 14 years.
Awesome.
We do not have any children, any kids. We have two dogs, two golden retrievers. They're fairly young.
Well, I can tell you, with your schedule the way it is right now, it would be kind of hard to have kids, because when you're at an athletic event, you know, when I worked in sports, and up until my daughter was born, I was at pretty much every sporting event, you know, 5 nights a mm-hmm. week. And then when she was born, it was like, I'm going to pump the brakes on this a little bit, because I want to spend some time with her. And so, yeah, I can understand, you know, why you don't have any kids right now.
Yeah, sometimes it does get a little crazy. This is probably the wildest time, spring. There's
it
just
is.
So much going on
yeah.
in springtime. And I send announcements out every Sunday.
Yes.
I had somebody come to me today. They're like, when do you go home?
Yeah.
Well, this time of year, I don't. I mean, it's just something every night. But it's fun, though. You have to love it.
Yeah, you do. You have to love it.
Yeah.
I mean, you absolutely have to love it. Well, let's talk about teaching. Now, I know that you were in the classroom for a while. What was that like? Tell us about your teaching experience.
I really enjoyed teaching. I actually taught biology.
Oh, really?
At the high school level, and I taught AP biology. Just the connections and the relationships that you can build with students. Just when you walk in, you don't always get a lot of science when they're younger. So mm-hmm. they walk in like dreading science, but like when you can make it fun and like they want to take your AP class the next year,
yeah.
like you just it's just really fun watching those students grow. And I really enjoyed the connections and just growing students. And years later, they're like, I went to school for biology. Like they'll come up and they'll tell you that, and just, you know, that just kind of makes it all worth it.
Yeah. Is biology something that you've always had an interest in?
It is. I actually went to school for it.
Okay.
First was at MTSU. Mm-hmm. I was a biology major. And then when I finished up at Tech. So that is always something that I've kind of enjoyed since I was in high school. But a lot of that had to do with my teacher in high school. He was a football coach.
Right.
But he taught biology, and I loved him. He was great. And I just always I just fell in love with it ever since.
So when you do have time to yourself, what do you like to do?
I still play some basketball.
Okay.
You
play in a rec league?
I used to play in a rec league out there at Cane Creek.
Yeah.
Didn't really find the time like this year, but still play some basketball, play some tennis.
Yeah.
I do enjoy tennis. My dad kind of taught us how to play tennis at a young age. So we played tennis.
Haven't worked your way into pickleball yet?
I play a little bit.
Yeah.
My brother and I actually played Sunday. We're at one of my niece's birthday parties Sunday, and we played some pickleball. There was a court out there.
Nice.
Spend some time. I mean, when I am at home, spend time with wife and the dogs. But we like to vacation.
Yeah.
So those dead period, those 2 weeks in the summer are very special. It's a very special time. We love sports. I've been to all but three Major League Baseball stadiums.
Really?
We love going to sporting events, national parks, hiking, that kind of stuff.
That's awesome. Do you have any big plans coming up for the summer yet?
We are. I think we're going to take two separate trips this summer.
Okay.
We're going to go to Utah. We're going to catch two national parks we haven't seen in Utah.
Wow.
We did three of them a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go down to Arkansas Hot Springs.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to do the 4th of July and Baton Rouge this year. We haven't done that yet.
Right.
So I think we're going to try that this year.
So as the athletic director, and I want to get back to that for just for a second because I just thought of something. You talked about the dead period. And I'm sure there are, you know, NCAA rules, there's TSSAA rules, there's a lot of things that go into sports programs and things that you have to deal with. How do you know what to deal with, and how do you know what to watch out for, or, you know, to make sure that your teams are aware of these different things?
I think a lot of that has to do with experience. When you first just step in, you may not know what to look for or things like that, but you tend to kind of see, like, okay, you're not supposed to be on the court at this time. Like, we need to have that conversation, and you're kind of looking out ahead of time. Like, it's more about communication.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very fortunate that I have coaches in my building that have been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, right.
So they know what to do, and they know the rules. We did hire a new volleyball coach this year.
Okay.
That'll be coming in. And so she will have to be – it'll be a lot of mentoring with her as far as on what not to do and things like that. But doing it for a while, you kind of pick up on how things need to be done. And I'll put some coaches in her corner.
Yeah.
That kind of help her along the ways too.
And I know you have some outstanding student athletes that were probably going to get looked at by colleges, as freshmen, sophomores, that kind of thing. Are you the watchdog? Is that more their coaches, or kind of how does that work?
Most of the time it's more their coaches. The fact that we have gone to state and everything this year has helped because the recruits are there.
Yes.
We do have a boys basketball freshman that has been looked at pretty heavily,
but
we've had a lot of signings this year.
Yeah, you have.
We've had several signings, and a lot of that does have to do with our coaches, but also a lot of that has to do with the tradition at Upperman, that what we have become as far as athletics go, and people pay attention.
Yeah. He's Ross Fanning. He's the athletic director and assistant principal at Upperman High School, and I'm Buddy Pearson, and you're listening to Local Matters. This is Local Matters with the folks on education. I'm Buddy Pearson, and we're talking to Ross Fanning, who's the assistant principal and the athletic director at Upperman High School. And, Ross, we've been talking a lot about your athletic director role, which it coincides with being an assistant principal. But now I know at a school the size of Upperman, and I know all that you do with athletics, what kind of is your role as the assistant principal? What does an assistant principal do that maybe people don't know that you do?
A lot of that has to do with – that's more the day-to-day stuff. Mm-hmm. The athletics usually happen after school.
Yeah.
So a lot of that, they don't realize that you don't get to do a lot of athletic stuff during the school day.
Really?
Not at all. So most of it's day-to-day. You're handling facilities. So you can kind of take care of some of the facility issues while you're at school because you're handling facility issues. You're handling discipline, things like that.
Managing. I was going to ask you about discipline. Mm-hmm. What does discipline look like for an assistant principal at a high school?
It just really depends. Some of it's kind of minor. You know, you have a few, they are teenagers,
mm-hmm.
so they're going to do silly stuff sometimes. But then you have some major issues where you kind of have to get a lot of people involved, and maybe they have to go to a different placement, things like that. But I don't brag on our students. We have a good student body at Upperman High School.
Mm-hmm.
It also helps that a lot of our student body are athletes.
Yeah.
And everybody kind of has found their niche.
Right.
So as far as discipline goes, not a great deal of discipline, just a lot of, most of it's pretty minor. I was actually talking to a teacher the other day, and we were just in the hallway sitting. I was like, we have, our students are really good.
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part, our students are really good. And so that's helpful. That is helpful. But, you always have to manage, you have to manage teachers, and you have to manage emotions, not just with the students, but with the teachers, because mm-hmm. they may get upset. Maybe you didn't handle something the way that they wanted to be handled.
Sure.
That happens. So day-to-day stuff like that, that's pretty much how your day works.
What about parents? What about, are you like a buffer, a liaison between teachers and parents?
I am. I don't necessarily push a meeting on teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So if a parent wants to meet, I'm going to tell them they have to meet with me first.
Okay.
Just so like I want the teachers to have that space to where they don't have to meet. When a parent wants to meet, they can meet with me first.
Yeah.
And then if it's something where I think, okay, teacher does need to meet with his parent, then I'll go talk to the teacher, and this is why, and we'll kind of go from there. But I don't necessarily like just to have the teacher meet whenever they meet. But, you know, you always have – you have special education needs, and you have 504 needs, and you have all those needs that you have meetings for and things like that, and you have observations, state observations that you have to do. So that's important. And you have to be in teacher classrooms, and you have to be visible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the classroom to me. You have to build relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't build those relationships, it's hard to manage. It's hard to manage people, and it's hard to manage students when they think that you're there to attack them or whatever. So you just continue to build relationships, and I think that's what kind of made it easier.
Now, what year did you graduate from high school?
Oh, high school, 2004.
Okay. So 20 years.
Mm, right at it, yeah.
How do you think high school has changed in the last 20 years?
Cell phones have been a big difference. I don't think I had my first cell phone until I was a senior in high school.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And so social media has changed it a lot.
Yeah.
With the way kids perceive things, the way students perceive things, with the way that they have access to stuff.
It's like there's no privacy anymore.
There's zero privacy. I mean, if you're talking about learning, if you have a cell phone out, you can cheat like that.
Yeah.
I mean, AI is out of control.
Right.
I mean, honestly, social media can be, I think it's a problem. Mm-hmm. Probably shouldn't say that on here, but.
No, I mean, why not?
I mean, it is. I think it's a problem. I think students have too much access to each other's lives, and it causes too much, it causes too many emotional stress, and it causes too much drama, and I would like to get rid of it, honestly.
Yeah. Well, I know that there's a policy in Putnam County Schools that is a cell phone policy.
It's been great.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that.
I mean, it's basically you have to have them up. Every teacher kind of has a different, but they'll have like a little cell phone holder. You have to have them in the cell phone holder, and if you have it out, you get your warning. If you have it out a second time, all of them come through me.
Yeah.
But if you have it out a second time, it's a certain discipline type thing, and then a third time is certain, and then your fourth one, I keep it.
Yeah.
So it's in my office the rest of the year. It's my. I mean, you take it home, but
you have to
turn it in to me at the end of the year, every day when you get to school if on your fourth one. But I personally love the policy. I'm glad that we did it. I think it was the right call because it's just, again, it's just everything is too accessible when they have them right there in their hands at all times.
And we talk about students that way. What about teachers? Because sometimes as an assistant principal, you know, obviously everybody has a right to an opinion. Everybody has their right to say things and to post stuff on social media. But, you know, as an administrator, you're trying to build a team at your school. And if you see teachers that are maybe going against some of those things or doing something like that, there's no policy for teachers as far as cell phones and social media and those kind of things. So how do you handle those things?
Well, thankfully, I haven't had a great deal of those things, but there are some – but people can be negative.
Yeah.
And you have to just explain to those people that what you're trying to do is very important to get buy-in.
Yeah.
And you have to get buy-in from your whole faculty, not just one or two. You have to get buy-in from everybody.
Absolutely.
And once you get that buy-in, you don't really see those type of negativity posts and things like that.
Yeah, that's a great answer. Yeah, it is, absolutely. And I think you're dead on when you're talking about – cell phones and social media and those kind of things, especially at the high school level. Do you ever see yourself doing anything other than working at the high school level?
Honestly, I don't know. That's a great question. I love the high school level.
Mm-hmm.
I really love Overman. I love the community. I feel like they have just taken me as one of their own.
Mm-hmm.
I know the parents now because I'm always at games and things like that.
Right.
So, I love being in that community. To answer your question, I don't have a good answer right now because I really don't. I haven't really given it too much thought because I just enjoy – I've never been anywhere this long.
Yeah.
And I just – because I just really love being at the Upperman community, Baxter community.
Upperman and Baxter certainly embraces athletics.
Mm-hmm.
They certainly embrace sports. It's important to them. You can tell from the Stingers football – all the way up through BYB and all the different things that cultivate sports in that area. But then having said that, you know, you see other athletic directors who are under pressure for, you know, for wins or losses or for coach hires or this and that. When you said you hired a volleyball coach.
Mm-hmm.
So how active are you in hiring that volleyball coach?
Very active.
Yeah.
I was in every single interview.
Uh-huh.
We called back a few more for a second interview. I was in every one of those. I made the phone calls to the ones that we did not hire. Mm-hmm. So I was very active in that search. We're hiring a girls soccer coach for next year. I will be announcing that either the end of this week or next week.
Oh, great.
I've been very active in that.
Yeah.
I've been in every interview as far as that goes. So, obviously, at the high school level, it is a little different than in college.
Mm-hmm.
Your principal does make the final decision, but I've been every step of the way with that. So we kind of collaborate and we work together.
Awesome. Well, how active are alumni, athletic alumni, in just the day-to-day thing? Like, they might email you, or they might have a suggestion, or they might want this, or they might want to see that, or
it can be very active. I had, when everybody found out that our volleyball coach stepped down, and I received some phone calls, and I received some emails mm-hmm. on people that who they thought that would be good, and they have encouraged to interview, and always, you know, always tell them, I want to find the right fit. We're going to do this the right way, and we're going to find the right fit for our school, our program, to make it successful, because we did just go to state for the second time in school history.
Right.
So we want that to continue. We want that growth, and we want to see that continued success.
You know, we go back to the success of Upperman Athletics, and you go back to that run for the football team all the way to the 4A state championship game in Chattanooga, and with a chance there, a two-point conversion that wasn't called, and you look at all that, and there was the rain, and there was just so many different things coming down, and, you know, it's heartbreak. But you go back and you look, and it's like, man, that was a big deal. That was a big run, because Upperman has not played for a state championship before in football.
No, that was huge, and I was actually on the goal line. And I had people come to me after the game and said, he was in.
Yeah.
I mean, people that were watching it from all over the place. But it was, I mean, at the time, you didn't really think about it because you're just in the moment.
Right.
And you want to win, you know, and you're on the sidelines with the coaches. But, like, it was huge. It wasn't just huge for our community either. It was huge for our county. That was the first time anybody in our county has ever been that far.
Exactly.
I mean, so it was just a huge accomplishment.
Yeah.
And and as far as our head coach, Coach Kane, he's going to get there again, and I think he will. That's his goal. His goal is to win it, and I want that goal for him, and I want that to see that success. So I'm ready for football season next year and see what happens.
We're all ready, and then you're just coming off basketball season where both your boys and girls basketball teams made it to the state tournament. Not only made it to the state tournament, the boys, you know, finish in the top four. The girls lose a two-point game to Dyersburg in the state championship. Both those teams highly successful with highly successful coaches. You know, you look at them, they're probably like, well, they don't need a whole lot of instruction or a lot of help. But how do you assist them, you know, two veteran coaches that know how to win?
Two veteran coaches that really do know how to win. I don't think I really have to do a lot for them. I'll be honest with you. I don't really do a ton for our football coach. They're really great. They're really fantastic. They're great at what they do.
Right.
I'm there. I really try to get parents off their back. I'm not meaning to sound that in a bad way.
Right.
But if we do have a parent issue, I don't really want it to hit them in the face.
Yeah.
Like, I want to take that off of them.
Sure.
And I also, you know, I want to be there if they need something, like football. We're talking about getting new bleachers for football.
Right.
And I'm helping with that step as far as where they're going and things like that, and kind of working with them. So if it's something that they think they need and think they want, I want to help them get that. Because they have been so successful. And Coach Kane, since he's been there, he's been very successful.
Very successful.
Our basketball has been very successful. Coach Shanks in baseball have been very successful.
They're looking real good right now.
They are. So, like, I want to be able to build those programs and continue that success. So when they come to me and say, hey, I think I need this, I'm like, okay, let me see what I can do. Let's get this.
Yeah.
And that's how I kind of more help them.
Well, we certainly wish Upperman Athletics all the success in the world. That's all the time we have for this week on Local Matters. I'd like to thank our guest, Ross Fanning, who's the assistant principal and athletic director at Upperman High School. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great week, and God bless.